Well, g'day everyone. It's good to be with you on this Father's Day. And I want to talk today about the importance of fathers. We've all got fathers. We all wouldn't be here without a father. And we all need fathers. Fathers are very important to the fabric of our society and the health of our world and our global community. There's a man named Warren Farrell, and I don't know whether you've heard of him, maybe not, because Warren Farrell is one of the most recognised and famous male feminists in the world, American. He's also well known and respected as one of the exponents on family. And that's happened because he's written this book recently called The Boy Crisis. Farrell claims he remains a feminist and he is a political progressive. So in the context of church and Christianity, we wouldn't normally go to somebody like Farrell to get him his perspective on family, and particularly on family in the context of what the Bible says family should be and fathers should be. But Farrell is also an honest researcher, an honest commentator. And when it comes to family issues, he's very conservative in the context of where he normally dwells. And he's deeply concerned by the disastrous social impact that the disintegration of family is having on our society, particularly over the last 40 years. And Farrell is particularly concerned about the plight of men in our society. With the decline of the family and traditional male roles in society, he believes we've inherited a serious problem for men. And he wrote this book with another famous author, John Gray. And what Farrell and Gray observe as they look at men in society today is that they have a purpose void, what they call a purpose void. And this purpose void is expressed in an overall lostness of men in society. Their traditional roles have been defined out of the societal narrative, but they haven't been replaced by anything. And so he says, and he makes one of a number of other observations, and this is what he says about men and how this lostness, this purpose void, has been expressed. For example, in the US, men aged between 25 and 31 are 66% more likely than women to be living with their parents. 93% of the prison population are male in the United States, and disproportionately young. By the eighth grade, 41% of girls are at least proficient in writing, while only 20% of boys are. A large study in Britain finds that boys' IQ have dropped about 15 points since the 1980s. And Farrell and Gray come out with this statement in their book, which I've got on the screen. The most important single crisis in developed countries is dad-deprived children, and especially dad-deprived boys. If you want to look at what the importance of important role that fathers play in society, if you want to look at the importance of anything, look at what happens when there's an absence of that thing, when the absence of fathers in a home. Farrell and Gray show that a staggering 85% of US youths in prison grew up in fatherless homes. 85%. 90% of the US male adult prison population are dad deprived. And 85% of the mass shooters, which we hear about all the time in America, are fatherless individuals. Farrell points out that researchers have shown mothers are good at setting boundaries, but fathers are better at enforcing them. In other words, huge populations of children are brought up without firm boundaries. The evidence is conclusive. Vast numbers spiral in these fatherless homes, spiral into dysfunctional living and even crime. On top of this, Warren and Gray show that the absence of a father leads to both boys and girls having problems in 50 areas of life. And this is continually validated by research that's been done not only in America but also in Europe and in Britain and also in Australia. The absence of a father impacts boys and girls in health, education, discipline, self-esteem, but boys have all of these problems more severely. And there's a terrible reality that Farrell and Gray observed at the conclusion of their book. When boys are hurt and they're hurting, they hurt us. Physically, psychologically, and economically, and we're seeing that expressed in this terrible elevation of domestic violence and violence within our communities, and particularly in the US community. In 2011, the Australian Institute of Family Studies did a massive survey of families, and the report summarised that Australian fathers play a vital role in their families. Well, you know, often we find this. The government goes out, spends massive amounts of money. All they need to do is really come to the church and ask them, and we would tell them the answer to these questions. But what they found with absolute conclusive evidence from this study was that Australian fathers play a vital role in their families, and that fathers' parenting is different but complementary to the role of mothers. Furthermore, there are positive associations between measures of fathering and children's socio-emotional learning outcomes. In other words, fathers matter. And fathers matter in our society, in our community, in Australia, uniquely and all over the world. Even though that's the case, men are finding it increasingly difficult to be a father. Actually, increasingly difficult to be men. The Herald Sun reported a couple of years ago an incident. It was around about Father's Day, and they reported this incident where this guy went to a park, this bloke went to a park with his grandson, and his grandson was playing with some other kids on some playground equipment. That was when you were allowed to go to playgrounds. And all of a sudden, this woman came up to him, very angry, and started demanding that he prove that he wasn't a pervert. This old man sitting there watching these children playing in the playground. And fortunately, to the man's relief, when he called out to his grandson, his grandson was at that stage often playing games of running away when his granddad called him. He actually came to him. He responded positively to his call. It's just an expression of how the role of a father and the role of a granddad and the role of a man in our society has changed, or the perception of who they are has changed. Where a grandfather goes to a park with his grandson and he's questioned about even being there. And so when it comes to Father's Day, here we are celebrating Father's Day. Often people are reminded of marriage breakdown, of the dysfunctionality of fathers, of men in society doing horrible things. All those things that we read about often in the papers that are perpetrated by men. And so Father's Day is not always celebrated universally, particularly in Australia. The absence of biological fathers is expressed in what I observed actually the last time we were allowed to celebrate Father's Day in our society, back in 2019. I think I was asked to speak somewhere about Father's Day, or I was contemplating making some commentary on Father's Day in some writing that I was doing. And what I found out was, when I started to look at what's going on for Father's Day, how people were celebrating Father's Day, that many, many schools were not calling this celebration Father's Day. They were calling it Significant Male Day. Significant Male Day. What does that say? It says that many of those families were families that were fatherless. They had other male figures that were important to them, maybe a granddad, maybe a friend, but many of the families, enough families were fatherless that they couldn't actually say, bring your father to the Father's Day celebration. And so they called it a Significant male celebration. I do a lot of mentoring and coaching of leaders. One of the leaders that I mentor and coach is Jo Hood, who founded Mainly Music. I was talking to her around about this time and she said, we've got a really big problem. We sent out all this program for our Mainly Music groups to do Father's Day, and many of them saying they were not going to do it because it brings up so much issues for families. And so they didn't run the programs. Overwhelming majority of men in our society are decent people, and they desperately want to be good fathers and good husbands, but they're struggling to find their identity as men, let alone their identity as fathers. How do you be a good father? What is the role of the father today? What does that look like? And how can we be great fathers? Well, I want to take you to a story in the Bible which many of you will be very familiar with. It's the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. Jesus spoke in parables, stories all the time to teach and to make a point for people to remember. And he told this story, and we find it in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed the pig. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This parable is often called the parable of the prodigal son. And I think it should be called the parable of the loving father. This really is a great story that Jesus told about the nature of a loving, good father. And as we look at this father, let's see what he did as a father. And Jesus told this story as a teaching moment about what his father, what God is like with us. So what does the father do? He allows his sons to make their own choices. He gives them guidance, I'm sure. He all those things we heard about this morning, about fathers, he gave them an example. He was hardworking, obviously. He managed things well. They would have had all that. But in the end, he said, you have the right, you're an adult now, you can make your own choices. Second thing, he was generous with his resources. Gives them access, his sons access to everything, and trusts them to be good stewards of those things. Finally, the sons have the right to actually ask for things, to use the resources, to take responsibility, to be stewards of the father, what the father has built up. And so he trusts them with that. One of the sons makes some really bad choices, takes those things and uses them in wasteful ways. And that son, at the point of complete lostness, is drawn back to what? When you've lost all those things, when you've used up his father's hard work, what his father's hard work had produced, what did he do? He thought about the father's love for him. When he loses everything, he realizes what is the true value in life, what really matters in life. When everything has been stripped away, that's when you actually stop and say, well, what really matters in life? And he had that moment. And so he goes back to his father, not expecting his father to want to have anything to do with him, but just to say, well, I know that my father looks after his servants, so I'll go back and I'll offer to be a servant because I'm going to be better off than I am now. But I know that I basically have abdicated my rights as a son. I don't expect my father, and I wouldn't expect my father to welcome me back. But maybe he'll give me a job, or maybe he'll let me be one of his servants. And what does he experience when he gets back? From a good father, he experienced grace. The grace that the Bible talks about a lot. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Love that bypassed his son's behavior. He experienced what really matters in the world. This is what fathers can give to their children. Unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, irrespective of their behavior. He experienced that unmerited, unconditional love of God. Now, when the father is confronted with the other son's self-righteousness, anger, self-centeredness, the older son, who is feeling really cheesed off because he's been the faithful son, done all the right things, and now what happens? This prodigal comes back, wasteful person, and gets celebrated, and he becomes angry and self-righteous. And when his father's confronted with that, what does he do? He reminds that son as well that he has a right to use the resources however he wants. They're his now to use. But more important than all of that is relationship. More important than all of that is his love. And so he demonstrates to this elder son as well what really matters. Here's a life lesson. What are the most important things in life when all this other stuff is taken out of the equation? It's love and forgiveness. It's grace. It is said of God that nothing we can do will make him love us more, and nothing we can do will make him love us less. I think this parable of the loving father reinforces that. That, sure, our behavior can hurt our father. Our behavior can distance us from our father, but it doesn't disqualify us from having his love and his acceptance. So how do you apply this? How do you apply this in your life? What are some of the things that we can do as fathers to show our children unconditional love? I think one of the things that we can do is show that they're a priority and always be there when they really need us. I'll give you an example of that. We have three children. Our oldest one is our daughter Belinda. When she was growing up, in her mid-teens, she was making some really bad choices.
we thought were really bad choices, things that we were not happy about any doing, and things that we expressed to her that we felt were not going to be the best choices for her. She became very aggressive and belligerent and rebellious, and it was a really difficult time for us. And so in the context of all that, one morning, Jenny, my wife, goes up to Belinda's room and she's still in bed, and she's, you know, she should have been up, dressed, ready to go to school. And she says to Belinda, "Belinda, get out of bed and go to school." She says, "It's not, Mum, it's not that I won't get out of bed and go, it's that I can't. I just feel terrible. And I have been feeling this way for a long time." Now, Jenny comes down to me and says she was a teacher at preschool. She was the director of the preschool. She had to go. And so she says, "I've got to go. You sort it out." Okay, so here it is. This is the role of the father now. Okay, when some, you know, application of values and discipline and that is needed, it's the father role. Off I go. I go up there and say, "Belinda, get out of bed." I had the same conversation with her. It's not that I, not that I won't, it's that I can't. And so I said, "Well, let me go and see what I can do to, about this." At that stage, I was the Australian Director of Youth for Christ. I had organised a meeting, a national meeting. People were flying into Melbourne to attend that meeting. The first day of that meeting was that day. Yet I've got this daughter who's actually really in a bad state. She was distraught. So I called my office. Now, Belinda knew this. I said, I told her, I can't deal with this, Belinda. I've got to go to this meeting, you know, and I told her that. And I went down, prayed about it, actually. I said, "What do I do?" I called my office, called my operations person, and I said, "I cannot come in today. You will need to look after these people. We've got an agenda. You go do it. Get the other person who's looking after all the youth ministry to talk about what they're doing. That's it. I can't be there. I've got a family crisis." I went up to Belinda and I said, "Belinda, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I am not going to leave you till we find out." I put her in the car, we went to the doctor, we went around, got all these tests and everything, and actually for the whole gathering, that three-day gathering, I wasn't there. I was with my daughter trying to resolve these issues. I dropped in a couple of times. Now, she saw that. She saw what I had not done. And we went around and found out that she had had a virus, and she had post-viral syndrome, chronic fatigue, and it took her 6 months to get over that. We did find out what it was. But from that day on, our relationship changed. She became a different person. She made a lot better choices. So what can we learn from that little experience? Well, when it came to the crunch, when my daughter really needed me, thank goodness, I mean, I wasn't going to do this. I wasn't going to be a good father. I mean, you could say, well, they're ministry people, and you know, they all come down and paint them. That, David, you just got to leave her and let her sort it. But she knew that she was a priority, that I loved her more than my calling, my job, anything else. When it really mattered, when she really needed me, I was going to be there. You know, if you've got teenage kids, or if you've had teenage kids, you can't go to them and say, "Look, you know what, I've got a pretty busy schedule over the next few months, but I know you're a teenager, 15, 16, you're going to have some crises. So I've actually scheduled Saturday morning from 9 till 11 for you to have a crisis, all right? So if you could just put that into your little calendar and we'll have the crisis, I'll look after that, and then we'll all be okay." You can't do that. We're told that you've got to have quality time with your children. Well, I think quality time is expressed in availability and its quantity. I mean, I tried a whole lot of things. One day I said to my son, "Hey, you know, let's go and watch a movie." And he said, "I don't want to watch a movie with you, Dad. Whatever movie you want to watch, I don't want to go and do it, you know. So, and by the way, I've got all my friends, so I want to go out with my friends." Okay. But when he really needed me to do something, when something broke on his car or his bike, and I was there, that was what made the difference in our relationship. So what is it that we find is expressed in this story? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a father? It means being available. It means you will have these moments when you can show your children that no matter what they do, and no matter what they do, good or bad, and no matter what happens in their life, when you are really needed, you will be there. They will be an absolute priority. Presence is absolutely vital to being a father. So when it comes to some of the challenges that I talked about in our society, what happens when you are fatherless? What happens when you've had a bad relationship and that you don't have a father? What do we do in those situations? Well, we're told in Psalm 68:5 that God is the father of the fatherless. My whole ministry life, 25 years, was with Youth for Christ. I connected with thousands and thousands of young people all over the world. And in leading up into that senior leadership role that I had, global leadership role that I had a lot of experience in helping kids who were fatherless, many kids who were fatherless. And those who I believe had a major turnaround in their life were those who experienced the father love of Jesus through Jesus and God, the relationship with God. And he became their father. And if you want to know what kind of father God is, then look at the story that Jesus told of the loving father. I have seen lives transformed of people who have suffered extreme abuse by their fathers or been abandoned by their fathers, and I've seen their whole life turned around and them experience love and understand the loving father relationship better than many, and expressing that in their own generosity, in their own way they respond to others. And I've seen them go on to be amazing fathers in their own context. Now, one of the problems with fatherlessness is that people don't have a model of fatherhood, and they often make the same mistakes their father did and leave the family. But I have seen that whole cycle interrupted by people who have come to faith and have understood the love of the father and have become fantastic fathers. The other thing is, how do we be a father? Us men, when men are slowly being written out of the narrative of community and family. Often what's presented in the media is that father's not really needed. They're sort of an added bonus to a family, but they're actually not really needed. There's overwhelming evidence that father is needed. So how do we be a good father? Let's look at what the fatherhood of God, let's look at the principles that we find in the Bible. That's how we'll learn to be a father that God designed us to be. Let's pray. Lord, our God, our Father, we thank you that you love us unconditionally. Help us to understand that today, especially our fathers, us who are fathers. Lord, help us to understand that we are loved unconditionally and be able to express that love to those who you have given into our care, our children, and be able to model that to others in our society who are not experiencing that unconditional love at this time. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate Father's Day, we will appreciate you more. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.